Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I have Max and Tom joining me today. Guys, how are we? Let's start with Tom. Tom, how art thou?
Going good, Jerry. Just frustrated by the extensive injuries and it just keeps happening, doesn't it? When's it going to end? Bad luck for Marco Silva. It's not the start we wanted at all. I know we're still undefeated, but how many injuries and suspensions are we going to get before like there's no players left? We've just shipped them all out and there's literally no one. We're going to have to, as you said, as we mentioned just before, Duncan Ferguson's going to have to come out because everyone keeps getting injured. It's awful.
I'm thinking we need to bring Hibbert back is the real plan, guys. That's always going to be a good idea. Max, how you doing, man?
I'm back in Manchester for uni, balancing nights out and getting into uni the next day. It's a lot of fun, and it's really exhausting. It's probably more exhausting as it is fun because, you know, you want to get some work under your feet and you want to just get some sort of work ethic back into yourself after a summer, but I'll get there eventually.
Well, you can take comfort in knowing that you have won the Gareth Bale hair lookalike contest. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's,
thank
you. Yeah, for those of you listening on podcast, Max has his hair thing again, and it's wonderful.
Hair thing.
I don't know the term, man.
Hair, man. It keeps the hair out of my eyes. It's either this or get a skinhead, and I'd rather keep me hair. Thank you very much.
When I played in high school, I did the headband. The thick headband because I had like way too much hair, and so I did my headband. My hair would poof out over it, and then I just shaved every bit of my hair down to the skin with a straight razor, and I still wore the headband. Yeah, it's like I don't know. I just went like as weird as I could.
Yeah.
Oh, he was horrendous. He was bad.
Let's summarize what's going on. The podcast for the pod people out there. So we're going to start with an international roundup. What's going on? Who got hurt? Who scored? Increased their value? Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Who didn't play? Whose teams got smashed? Not because of alcohol, but you know what I mean. So then we'll move on to, I mentioned injuries. There was a big one. And we're going to have to rely on another player, a backup. Coming up, and just to be specific, we're talking about Jonjo Kenny, not one of the other backups that are going to have to play. So we're going to have a Kenny segment, talk about him. Then we're going to move on to the West Ham preview, because that's who we play this weekend. Yeah. And then we'll do a starting 11 segment, because that's our thing. We do that. So guys, international roundup. I'm going to take this second to plug Tom's Got a Piece, Toffee Blue's website, coming your way. Read it. It's full of smart things about Everton players that played in other places. All right? So, yeah, check that out. So as far as the international roundup, Tom, should we just start with the one that everybody's talking about, seemingly, Richarlison?
Oh, it's been through the middle. We've missed him. We haven't seen him for a couple of weeks now after the sending off, but look at him like playing alongside Neymar, love and life. Look at him. He's an international superstar now, isn't he? After a few weeks with the Blues, that's what Everton does to you. So, but now it's been great seeing him with the number 9 Brazil shirt, and he just goes from height to height. He just keeps improving all the time, and he scored 2 on his first start for Brazil up front. It's just wonderful to see, and I just can't wait to see him play up front for Everton.
Max, what do you think about that guy?
That number 9 shares as well. I know I was reading an article with him. I think it was by someone from AS, the Spanish news outlet, and he was going on about obviously Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo, was his childhood hero. So imagine how good that must feel. You know, as Tom said as well, he's going around like Neymar's best mate, isn't he? Giving it all that on the Instagram stories, and you've got to be happy for him, haven't you? I mean, obviously, you know, everyone's read about his childhood and his rise to where he is now, and he just seems like this meteoric rise that he's going through. You know, the hype's real, as it seems. He's continuing this trend of delivering, scoring braces on his debuts for Everton and Brazil, and you know, long may it continue.
Yeah. Very surreal moment when you see Richarlison call Neymar over and say, "Hey, let's do the pigeon dance, man. Come on, let's celebrate that together." What? That's crazy. That was awesome. Yeah. Exciting moment. I showed it to my kids. It was great. Yeah, he played 75 minutes. No, he subbed in at the 75th minute against the U.S. Kind of a quiet performance. And then played 54 minutes against El Salvador. Bagged two. The first one seemed pretty special. Pickford played once. 2-1 loss versus Spain. Gave up two goals after watching the replays again. I didn't really think that was all Pickford's fault. I didn't think it was all on him. Max, you've seen it, obviously. Have you? Was that a...
No. Two weeks of an international break, Jerry, particularly after a World Cup like that, it's a drag and it drains me. I miss Everton. I miss club football. That's what does, you know, that's where the real stake is, you know what I mean? Just it's too much for me, and especially with all these injuries. I watch clips of the games, like I sat and watched, say, 20 minutes of each.
Mm-hmm.
I seen England went in front against Spain. Did they come in front or
they got in front early.
And then and I saw, I think it was it Rodrigo who got the first goal. Mm-hmm. That goal was absolutely special. That bit of work by Danny Carvajal down the right hand side. But yeah, for that goal, I don't think Pickford was the fault. But I just can't wait to see Everton back, to be honest.
Yeah, he just didn't. I mean, first of all, I'm going to agree with you. You're right. International breaks are murder. Just saying that. But I didn't think either goal he had much of a time to react. They came from very close range. The first one, he was blocked off. And the second one, no one was with the man. Sigurdsson played both games, lost 3-0 to Belgium, 6-0 to Switzerland.
Yeah.
And it's better we don't even talk about the Iceland games anyway, because to be honest, it sounds like they just got killed. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with him, but Sigurdsson at least played and he didn't get hurt, and that's a win for us.
I know. Going off this international break.
So we're segueing now into an injury. Coleman played in a 4-1 loss to Wales, and then Ireland's manager decided to give the injury update that he's got a stress fracture. It sounds like he's going to be out for a while. Seamus Coleman, stop leaving us. Please, big fan of Seamus.
Do we know if that happened in the game or Jordan training?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Because, you know, Everton and the relationship between Everton and Ireland in terms of injured players just seems to be a story that keeps getting more chapters, doesn't it?
That's the first thing I thought of. I was remembering all the McCarthy nonsense with O'Neill and Koeman. And,
oh, man. Neil.
Yeah.
I don't mind him.
Tom,
I don't mind.
Don't speak up too much. He might watch. Okay? Just say it. So, hence, Coleman probably not playing. Kenny in. We'll talk about it. Segment's coming. Stay tuned. Cenk Tosun played the entire game versus Russia. And I think they lost 2-1. And then played the entire game versus Sweden, got an assist.
They came back.
They scored like two goals very late to take the lead and win the game. I did see a lot of people on Twitter saying he didn't have a great game, but I know the guy who runs the Turkish football website said, you know, is a big Tosun fan, and so gave a thumbs up on that. So a lot of people were negative, though. I'm guessing he's just not been very visible in games. So that's, not getting into a lot of positions to actually score, or he's not receiving, or people are not giving him service in those positions, one or the other. But seems like maybe it's carrying over into international play. I still love Cenk Tosun Pasha, just saying. Big fan.
He'll be fine.
He will get his. Just a gay injured. He showed up and the Senegalese manager said, yeah, he's got a knee injury. I'm assuming that means he doesn't play this weekend. All right? Senegal tied 2-2. They drew with Madagascar. And just as a side note, it was a really horrible tragedy there. There was a stampede before the game. A person got killed. A bunch of people got injured. Stay safe over there, people. My gosh. Yeah, the headline I saw was tragedy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know about it. Next, let's go to some of the younger lads. Kenny, Davis, Dowell, Lookman, Calvert-Lewin all played against Latvia, 2-1 win. Kenny, Davis, and Dowell.
Calvert-Lewin, though.
Yeah. DCL is
another
injured
one.
Again. As soon as he's gotten back, he started to score some goals. Yeah, he's hurt again. Lookman isn't injured, just playing like he doesn't care, apparently. yeah, even his coach came out and said, yeah, he's not doing well right now. And you know that's bad.
The little thing came out about him wanting to switch his alliances, didn't it? I saw that. I saw when he got put out.
Yeah. He's just not getting along with a lot of the England setup.
He just hates England.
That's what it seems like.
He doesn't want to be in England.
Little rebel, isn't he?
On the good side, Kenny, Davies, and Dowell played the whole game. It's good, because they might have to be playing some minutes coming up.
Yeah.
Hornby. Fraser Hornby. Hat trick in his first game versus Andorra. And then in the second game, did he get two? Did I see that right? The guy's just scoring for fun. Good.
Goal
He's like 18 years old.
I know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, he's a big guy, too. He's so physical for his age. I remember when he came in last season just to kind of play some spare minutes here or there. Yeah, he looked like he's going to be all right. You know, his hold-up play's great for a young guy.
Next, talking about big dunk, the next big dunk, fingers crossed.
That'd be great.
It would.
And Anthony Robinson played a lot of the 2-0 loss. He might have played the whole game versus Brazil. Didn't look good. Had a poor outing versus Brazil. I literally said to my kid, I was like, Bennett, hey, there's Andy Robinson. He's an Everton player. Remember him? And Douglas, it was Douglas Costa, right? Nutmegged him, went around him, muscled him off the ball. And it wasn't just one bad play. He just was an off game for him. Admittedly, against very tough opposition. Good experience is what I'm saying.
Douglas Costa. He's hit good form, hasn't he? The last season or so.
He looked electric and no one could stay with him. But they were playing the U.S. That's what I'll say.
Not that.
Hey, not that I'm about to say something positive, though, about the U.S. national team. Last night, they won 1-0. A couple of turning points in the game. One was a formation shift first half. When they brought in Julian Green, then there was a red card in the second half, giving the U.S. a man up. And then the big equalizer, the big thing that pushed them over the top, they brought in Anthony Robinson on the left. And he started just fizzing in some crosses. He got the assist. U.S. wins 1-0 versus Mexico. It was nice. I stayed up and watched it. And I'm old. So it was worth it. Just saying. He looked good offensively. Okay. Defensively, there was a moment or two where his communication with Miazga in the back. I don't know. I think he's gonna be with the first team next season.
Anya Kerry scored for the Super Eagles, man.
That is so huge because he played both games. He subbed in the first one, didn't play many minutes, but in the second one he played a big portion of it, and I'm keeping an eye on his minutes because it's something I'm trying. There's a certain percentage he has to play in order to get that work permit. And I don't remember what it is. Is it 30% of the minutes coming up? I don't know. I don't know the exact, but work permit. Hey.
Yeah. We've waited long enough. I know.
It's stupid. I thought last year, there should have been more action taken against Anderlecht because that was a scandal. That was ridiculous. I would have thought Everton have filed a complaint about that, because that was terrible.
Yep.
Like, rather than just saying, oh, yeah, you can't have him on loan again next season now, that was a little slap on the wrist, but there should have been more action taken about that, because that was awful. He should be in Everton shirt right now.
I'm trying to figure that out too, by the way, because the easy thing is they're saying he needs surgery just so they can get him on loan again later. It sounds really selfish, but they're covering it up with a medical thing. And what if they're actually trying to do right by him? I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to figure out how to feel. I would love to be able to, like, they were screwing with us, stay away. But there is that one little part where you're like, maybe they're serious. Maybe they're being honest. You know. But you know, he looks good for Galatasaray right now, too. Glad he didn't get the surgery. Seems like he's all right. So Onyekuru. Maybe he'll be in England next year. Keep playing in Super Eagles in those amazing, amazing shirts. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it. I think that's all for our international blues. Let's discuss the new right back situation. Because Seamus Coleman has a stress fracture in his foot, supposedly, according to Martin O'Neill. So if he's truthful, that's a thing. And that means Jonjo Kinney is in. So let's start with Max this time. Max, how comfortable are you with Jonjo Kinney starting at right back for us right now?
I'm very comfortable. I just want to say to Seamus, quick recovery, mate, because it's gutting to see him go through these kind of getting back and then on the shelf again, getting back on the shelf again. But, you know, best of luck in your recovery. But on Kenny, I'm more than comfortable with seeing him come in. I'm glad Everton have got, you know, a young, talented fullback. You know, he's a winner as well. He won the under-20s World Cup with England, and he was part of that team, and the under-23s Everton team that won the league a few years back. So for those who are unsure about Kenny, you know, I'm not on board with that. I'm more than comfortable, and I'm glad we've got someone of that talent. Obviously, making the transition from youth football to the Premier League, you're going to come up with a different calibre of opponent, both physically and technically. And I think he learned the hard way when he came in last season for Coleman. You know, he was pretty much put in at the deep end and had to learn on the job. So I'm sure this season, you know, with it being a stress fracture, it'll be a few weeks. So he'll have more than enough time to showcase his abilities, and I'm sure he'll be more mature.
Tom, how are you feeling about Jonjo Kinney coming in?
Yeah, I completely agree with Max. Yeah, Jonjo Kenny's completely capable. I just hope fans don't get on his back as much as they have with Tom Davies recently, because I think he needs to be cut a bit of slack. And I know a lot of people have given this and that to Tom Davies, but I think Jonjo Kenny obviously he's adapting, and he needs time to do that, especially when he comes in like properly like this. I think he will be better than when he came in last time at a difficult time last season. So I'm looking forward to see what it'd be like in a Marco Silva system as opposed to Sam Allardyce's or anything like that, former managers. But I'm hoping it'll come good in this one, because he was quite good against Rotherham. I was impressed with him against Rotherham. Yeah. I know it's a completely different calibre of opponent than the Premier League, but I think he'll do well. The only concern for me is his cover. So he's gonna be in the sidelines for him. But I think he's more than capable to step in, and I'm excited to see how he does.
I agree with you guys. I think I'm going to be fine with Kenny kind of deputizing for Coleman, as long as it's not a really long, like long-term takeover for him. That's what happened last season, and he wasn't quite ready. So I think it maybe was. It's good for kids to be pushed. They need challenges, and he's going to learn from that. And I do think he's going to be even stronger this year. Totally agree with that. I just hesitate to think that if for some reason Coleman is struggling really bad with this injury, if it goes longer than expected, I will worry about Jonjo Kinney playing the rest of the season as a starter. I'm just going to, based on last season, just because. Yeah. But do I think he's capable and all the qualities that you guys mentioned? Yes, he's awesome. He's one of the kids I was most excited about coming through that U23 setup. I love the kid. I think he's awesome. If he struggles, if he does, okay, in what areas do you think He will struggle. I guess that's the thing that I was thinking about, where his kind of areas he needs to work on as a player are.
Yeah.
So where can we, do we feel like we can anticipate some, any kind of possible weakness? Who wants to start with that?
Well, I think it's another reason why I like John Joe Kenny so much, is that he's not this kind of modern day traditional flying wing back. He doesn't take the ball and go on these incredible mazy dribbles down the wing. He's a very kind of, similar to Lucas Digne. He's, you know, tidy with the ball, hits with a big tackle every now and again, and strongly reliable. But I think, as we kind of touched on earlier, coming up against wingers who are more developed physically, you know, and I'm thinking the likes of Eden Hazard and those type of players that you come up against in this league, the more quicker with the feet, move the ball a lot quicker, and they'll be testing for a young player like him, you know, when to jump in, when to try and lunge in and win the ball. But I'm comfortable with Kenny. I know he has got his flaws in his game, but you can accept that with him being young. And I'm used to Everton having these kind of ready supply of young, talented players, and I think he's just the next example of that to have to break into the team.
Tom, where do you see Kenny's areas of weakness in terms of, you know, things he might struggle on coming up this weekend or this season?
Yeah, sometimes I've seen him when he's been jockeying and he's kind of been a bit hesitant when to put a foot in and things like that. I think some wingers that you see in the Premier League are completely different to what you're seeing on the 23. So sometimes when I've watched him, I just sometimes thought when he's been jockeying, he could have put a foot in a bit earlier, things like that. He's a bit hesitant putting a foot in sometimes, because maybe he's at this level, wingers are completely different to how the under 23s. You've got like fully grown athletes at this level, and he doesn't want to jump in because there's a lot of pressure. And if he does jump in at the wrong time, he's going to get jumped on and criticised. So I think sometimes he is a bit hesitant to put a foot in. But that'll come with time, that'll come with experience. I'm glad he had that run on the team last season, so we can. He's experienced this level, so he's not going to come in completely blind. He knows what he's doing, and I suppose that's where I've seen him weak though sometimes. I think his deliveries could be improved as well. Maybe that'll come with time as well. But crosses into the box, hopefully we'll be able to see them, because that's where Seamus has lacked a little bit. Hopefully Kenny can come in and give some decent delivery, because sometimes I've seen him, he could have done better as well, but hopefully that's going to come with time and experience. He will need a few games to get into his stride though in this team, so we won't see the best of him against West Ham, I'm sure. But I think if he got a good run of games and got some decent form going, there's no reason why he couldn't fly, and you never know, could end up as good as Trent.
So when I was thinking about him last season, I know there was I seem to remember several times where he got kind of bumped off the ball for headers, you know, balls in the air. There was a couple of moments where I don't know if it was his communication with the other defenders or what, but it's like they would leave a man open just kind of behind them. And I feel like both of those two, in adding to what both of you guys were talking about, knowing when to put a foot in, a lot of that is youth and inexperience. The more you play against somebody like Hazard, you will know, you know, you'll have been there and done that.
Yeah,
you kind of get over that. You get past those naive moments where you go, you're bracing yourself for a header, but you're not bracing yourself for that contact, you know, moments like, and your communication just gets better with the other defenders because you play with them more. So do I expect to see moments like this? Yes, I do. And it may, heck, they may score some goals on us because of that. Personally, I would rather be playing him right now than Cuco Martina.
Of course.
Despite the fact that Cuco Martina was a decent defensive player. You know, he was decent defensively. He was. He wasn't the worst. I know we have these poop-colored glasses when we look back on last season where everything was shit. I know. I get it. But he did defend well several times.
When he was on the right.
Well, he didn't defend poorly on the left either. It's just he had no offensive push forward. Anyway, that's...
When he was on the bench.
He was awesome on the bench. No one sat like Cuco. Just saying. I almost want to watch Stoke just to see how he's doing. You know, I miss Kuko, but not for playing. And we were talking off camera about who might be Kenny's backup, because he's a young guy. The young guys, when they come in, they get hurt sometimes. Who would be his backup? The only one that I've seen play last season was Markelo, the Dutch player. I think he's a right back. At least he played right back last season in a lot of U23 games. And there were times where he looked like one of the strongest players on the field.
Can I just throw something at you, right? Tom Davies' debut. I'm convinced that it was Southampton at home when Unsworth and Royal took charge. Mm-hmm. Did he play right back that game? Because one of my mates, me Evertonian mate, said to me the other day that Davies made his debut at right back. Mm-hmm. And it rang a bell, but I'm not entirely sure what game it was. But I think we could give it a run.
He has definitely played right back before. I remember that he has. But it was definitely not a regular thing, though. I don't remember who it was.
I think if we're looking at positional versatility, I think that's something that we could make the most of. We know people are getting on Davies' back. Give him a whirl in a different position, see what kind of flourishes.
I get nervous about doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think if you're in a pinch and we don't have anybody on the bench to do it, yeah. I wonder, and I'm just throwing this out there, would they throw, if we've got Baines on the bench, would they throw Baines in on the left and Dina in on the right as a possibility, just even though he's not right-footed? That might be a thing that they do, that Silva decides to do.
I think we saw enough of that last season.
I know. You know what I mean? I know. Holgate as well. Holgate can play right back as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that's something that I'm not a fan of. It was similar, remember, with Brendan Galloway, when people tried to make out Brendan Galloway was a left back, and similar to Stones before that, people trying to say, he can do a job at right back. Well, he can do a job, but just look at them type of players physically, with ectomorphs. They're just a body type. I just really don't think it's suitable to a full back position in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm a big fan of playing people where in their best position. Yeah, I do agree. But if we're looking at having our best players on the bench and we're just slotting in good players right now because we're so depleted, you know what I mean? Something like that could happen. So I am hoping that we will see some of those young guys on our bench, though, and possibly get a minute or two. Some of those guys who normally would never be anywhere near our bench right now, you know? So anyway, we might see that. And maybe we'll go into that more later when we talk about this weekend's match. We got two segments on that coming, one on West Ham preview and one on the starting 11. Teasing. There's your, there you go. Stay tuned. Check those out. But for now, anything else on Jonjo Kenny?
Nope. Come on, Jonjo, lad.
Yeah. Good luck. All the best.
When I heard about Coleman's injury, immediately I said to myself, I'm glad he's here. I'm glad we've got Kenny, because I do think he can do a job.
Yeah, definitely. You want your local lads as your backup, and I think he's technically efficient enough to do a good job.
All right, so that's it for our Jonjo Kenny segment. We really do have a severe weather situation happening in North Carolina right now. Yeah, as in my sister and her family have evacuated to come here because they live in Wilmington. There is an enormous Category 4 hurricane about to smash into North Carolina right now.
Do you know what, Ray? Best wishes your way, but I've been in a hurricane. I mean, that might be a story for a different time, but I was in America as well. Scary stuff. Take care, man.
Yeah, I've been in it too, but it's been many, many years. Since I deal with, and I was like a 10-year-old at that point.
I was young when it happened to me. Like, well, take care. It's not nice.
Yeah, we're just, it's a lot of like prep, and there's no food in the stores. None. People are hoarding food and water and milk, and it is absurd, gentlemen. It is absurd. Okay, it is this very. It's a very selfish mentality. Okay, it's very selfish. I don't think, even if we go without power for 3 days, you do not need 7 jugs of water. You won't, okay? I've been camping. I'm saying. That makes me an expert. Not at all. All right. So anyway, so that is happening outside. All right. In here, we're talking about West Ham. There's actually there's a game going to happen this weekend. And I'm crossing my fingers I still have power come Saturday. Yeah, so I actually get to watch this thing. So, guys, West Ham is a strange... I don't really see West Ham as being any kind of rival, but some, or being our rival in any way, but some people see them as a Twitter rival. It's silly. Whatever. Right now, West Ham's form is bad. They've lost the lot. End of description. They've lost a lot of games, okay? They brought in a lot of players. A lot of people are comparing it to what we did last season. Big overhaul, new manager, all that stuff, all right? So at this point now, I'm going to turn it over to Max, who has more experience. He's been talking with a gentleman from a West Ham podcast.
Yep.
Max, what can you tell us about West Ham at the moment, their danger men, possible lineup, all that stuff?
Yeah, I was on Hammer's chat last night with Gio, who's a guy who runs the thing there. And although, obviously, they've lost all four games so far in the league, there was a calmness about them. And as you say, we can relate to that in that football is this game. You've got to give things time. You can't be, you know, unless you're Chelsea, which it's kind of in their ecosystem to be the hire and firing type of club. But with West Ham, obviously, they brought in Manuel Pellegrini, who's, you know, he's a manager who has got winning in his DNA. You know, you might dispute him, obviously, because when he was at Manchester City, it was kind of a machine that drove itself in that sense because they've got such good players. But I, for one, I don't think the business that West Ham have done has been bad. They brought in a lot of players that would go straight into a first team in the Premier League. You know, Yarmolenko being one, he's finally going to come to Goodison. Felipe Anderson from Lazio, Issa Diop as well, that was someone that Gio mentioned from Toulouse. He's only a young lad, 23 years old, at centre-back, and he looks like a really strong player. He looks like to be the only one, really, that hasn't let them down so far. Like I said, Jack Wilshere, who also got brought up. When they've come in, they haven't hit the ground running. And as I say, this kind of period of transition where everyone's trying to get used to things, add to that the discomfort that the fans feel towards their board at the minute and the whole scenario surrounding the London Stadium. It's a very toxic atmosphere, I'd say, around the club. Mm. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Everton can make full advantage of that.
As far as Diop goes, I know we were actually connected with him because we were connected with every player, the players. But apparently, he kind of had some kind of inexplicable defensive decision last week that kind of cost them a goal.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, with a young player, I'm assuming you're just going to get that. So I'm hoping the experience of Cenk Tosun manages to, you know, outguile him up front. I mean, there are a lot of new players in this possible starters lineup that I've got here. Fabianski, capable keeper from Swansea.
Yeah.
Fredericks, is he the guy from Fulham, I believe. Right back. Balbuena, Diop, Masuaku, Sanchez, Wilshere, Antonio, Snodgrass, Felipe Anderson, and Arnautovic. And I'd say Dangerman. I'm assuming you guys would agree with this. Arnautovic, period. We know.
Yeah.
That was another one. I know we were linked with Arnautovic, but then Stoke got him, and then West Ham got him. They're like, hey. You know, I saw that too. Yeah. So, Snodgrass on set plays. I'm sick of Snodgrass. I feel like I've seen him score several times on us from just outside the 18. All right? And Antonio in the air. He's a powerful guy in the air. Corners with us. Zonal marking. Tom, thoughts on this one, our matchup against West Ham. How we'd possibly match up with them in areas that we may see some issue.
I think it might be a bit of a scrappy one because they're two damaged teams at the moment. Was massively damaged by injuries and suspension, damaged by bad form, to be honest. I think they've got a good, like you read out the players there, they've got some good players there, and I don't know if they're not gelling or something, but that's a good squad, and it's mad how they just had such a bad start to the season. But they've got a few tall players, so I can see them bagging against us with zonal marking. But I think we'll hopefully at home we can brush aside like that, because they're horribly damaged confidence at the moment, and surely we can brush them aside. Even with our injury problems, hopefully we can overcome them. But it will be a bit of a scrappy one with two damaged sides, unfortunately. So I don't think there will be too many goals, but I think we've just got to tighten up with the show more. And I'm hoping Marco Silva's hammered it out during the international break and just told the players how to actually do it, because they don't have a clue. And I'm hoping some work every single day has been going into that, because as soon as we understand that, that's when we start playing well and winning games. But I'm hoping that'll come off at the weekend, and we'll finally keep the clean sheet and get a horribly damaged team with confidence at the moment in West Ham.
I mean, because we're providing goals. We're scoring goals. And we're leaking silly stuff that is totally preventable. It's not like if we change our style of play, we'll prevent less goals. That's not the issue. It's just dumb. You know, letting a man slip and just be totally unmarked. It's repeatedly, and it sucks. It's so frustrating. But you're right. If you're a manager who has seen that, he knows it's an issue. He's had time, ample time to work on that. Fingers crossed that's been addressed. Okay? And that our guys are absorbing the training. That would be great.
Yeah.
Prediction time. Guys, what is going to be the score in this one? Tom, what do you think?
I'd love to say a win against the team at the bottom of the table at home, surely. But I've just said, I'm going to have to stick with the one I just said to the guy. So then I've just said 1-1. And got a bigger stick for it, because at home against West Ham, you've got to be predicting a win, really. But I can just see it being a scrappy one, because we've got so many players out injured, and we've got a little bit of weakness there at the moment. And I feel like we might concede early from zonal marking and struggle to get back once they sit in, sit deep. So we might get a goal back, but I've predicted 1-1, unfortunately. I'd love to be more optimistic, but that's what I've gone for.
Well, Tom, you don't have to tell people what they want to hear. You're trying to get it right. Uh-huh. You're trying to be honest, so that's allowed. But Max, it's your turn, and let's try to be positive sometime, you know, since Tom's...
Oh, God, you just put the pressure on me there.
No,
like,
I'm just joking.
On Hammer's chat last night, I said 2-2 myself. It's been one of these games, West Ham, both at home and away. It can't, you know, we've traded wins over the last few years. You know, they've outdone us, we've done them. It seemed to be that type of fixture for us as of late. You know, I miss the days of seeing Lukaku just turn up against them and score a hat trick or a brace or something like that. And as Tom says, you know, they are both teams going through a period of transition, and I can see it possibly clashing and being a bit scrappy. Fingers crossed, you know, that home advantage. I think we downplay it more than we should, you know, because when you talk to opposition fans, they go, oh, going to Goodison Park. Whereas to us, we've just kind of seen our flaws over the last season or so and thought, oh, God, every game coming up has the potential to be a tricky one. But, you know, we've looked strong at home under Marco Silva. So, fingers crossed that it should go our way.
So I am in the minority, apparently, picking a win. 2-1 Blues. And in an oddly specific prediction, I will say Tosun gets a goal and the assist will come from Jonjo Kenny.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Why? I just plucked that out of the air. I have nothing to back that up. Just trying to be, you know, clairvoyant. I dabble in that. I'm always wrong. All right, so I guess that's it for our West Ham preview. So guys, we just finished our West Ham preview where we were talking more about their squad. Let's talk about ours and how we might line up against them. Just to lay it out on the table, these are the players that are either out or probably out, okay? Richarlison, Walcott, Coleman, Gay, Mina, Andre Gomez, Keane, DCL, McCarthy. Am I missing anybody who has a chance of playing?
I remember reading it's 12 players that are out in total.
That's 9 right there, so somehow I'm missing someone.
Might be a few of the young lads, you know, Benningimi, etc.
And they may be including Bernard, because I just don't think Bernard's injury is that serious.
Yeah.
But, so, who wants to start? Who wants to give their starting 11 first? You're kind of sticking your foot onto thin ice when you do this, because everybody's missing. It's a total crapshoot. Who knows? Maybe we'll all be right, or we'll all be dreadfully wrong. So we'll see.
If you walk on an ice, you may as well dance. What I've gone for: Pickford in goal, John Joe Kenny at right back. Bit of a dispute at centre half, because, you know, it does look like Mina is out. So going to go with Holgate and Zouma, because, you know, I've been impressed. Digne keeps his place at left back, and hopefully he pulls the full 90 off this time, because I thought that decision to take him off last game was weird. Hopefully Walcott recovers from his rib injury, because I've got him on the right wing. Bit of a kind of tactical switch in the centre of midfield. Rather than Davies playing deep like he has been, I want to see him pushed a bit further up. I've got Schneidlin and Davies in centre midfield. You know, I have Schneidlin do his thing, dropping deep, simplifying the game. But push Davies up a few yards further up the pitch. Let him express his talent in the places where he can cause danger. On the other wing, I know that's something that off camera we've just nearly turned grey over discussing. But I think Luchman's just going to have to put his dummy back in and play from the start. Up front, Sigurdsson and Tolson.
So, Dom, what do you got for your lineup?
Right, it's quite different. And then it's almost an under 23 side. It's not many to choose from, but yeah. I've gone for Pickford in goal, of course. Jordan Pickford starting goal, with a similar back line to what we started with last week. Only Kenny comes in for Coleman. So I've got Holgate and Zouma starting at centre back, with Digne at left back. Pretty similar to what we've been playing, with the 4-3-3 with two holding and one attacking midfielder. So I've gone for Davis and Schneidlin. I know Davis has come under a bit of criticism, but I think he's going to have to play through it, because there's no one else at the moment.
Yeah.
It's Tom Davis starts with Schneidlin for me, with Sigurdsson in a number 10 role. And then there's a front three of Nias as an inside forward. I think he's going to have to. There's not many options. I hate to say it, but yeah, I put Nias in there, with Tosin up front and Ademola Lookman on the left, because there is nobody else, and he's going to have to stop sulking at some point, so he's going to have to stop sulking now.
Envisaging Omar Nias on the wing is like, imagine him that tight. Like, his touch has got to be tight. Like, if you're a winger, your touch has got to be tight. If you're that close to the line, you've got to have a reasonably good first touch. And guys, we know, if Omar Nias didn't have a bad touch, he'd have no touch at all.
So. It's like, yeah, he's got springs on his boots. It's literally just bounces five. I like him. He seems nice. He scraps. He makes things happen. Yeah, but you're right. Trying to see him dancing the touchline.
Yeah.
You know. Pickford, Kenny, Holgate, Zouma, Digne. You know, I feel like, you know, there's a chance that Jags could play if he's healthy, because I think his suspension is up. So technically but I've gone for Holgate and Zouma, because that's who I want starting right now. Davies, Schneiderlin to Lion Deep. Sigurdsson just in front of them. I've got Lookman and Bernard on the wings, because, like I said, I don't think Bernard's injury is that bad. I think he'll play, and Tosun as the main striker. A little curveball I forgot until just now when we were talking. For the international setup, I have seen Kieran Dowell play on the wing in front of Jonjo Kenny before.
Yeah, that was something that I was going to flag up. You know, I do think this is a game where Kieran Dowell can get some action at some point. Like, it seems reasonable, because, like, the positions where we're lacking in depth, he seemed like, as you say, on the wing, I know we know he can do a job in the hole or as a central midfielder, but the opportunities open for him on the wing there.
I mean, I think it's feasible that he could start instead of Bernard or Lookman. One of those, I think he could start on the wing. And I don't know, starting him at, you know, kind of that right position, you know, with Kenny behind him in a very familiar situation where they already communicate well. So, yeah. And it's kind of, and it's not really, I keep saying wing, but let's be honest, it's sort of an inside forward. So, yeah. You know, I think the real question for him is speed. That's the real question. Does he have the speed to go past those fullbacks the way a Richarlison does, or the quickness the way a Lookman does? So, yeah, I can see him starting there.
Well, I think, right, I always kind of draw likeness to Gylfi Sigurdsson. Look at last season when we gave Gylfi Sigurdsson a run out on the wing, yeah. How many times he kind of dragged it infield and fired one in the top corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully see something like that, if that was to happen.
Yeah, I've never really considered him any kind of outside attacker for us. I've always thought he's best as an inside number, you know, number 10, kind of with good vision, combination play, and can crack shots from outside. But yeah, I don't know. That might happen. But long story short, it's not ideal for Everton this weekend. It's not ideal at all. Missing a lot. Let's see how much spirit we have. And you know what? Silva's a smart guy. He will figure out the way to best utilize what he's got. Yeah. So I guess that's it. Anything else on this upcoming matchup with West Ham?
Come on, Blues.
All right.
Yeah.
So I guess that is it for our starting 11 segment. And for podcast people, it is also it for the big show. If you've been listening via podcast, thank you so much. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. And, I don't know, maybe leave a kind review. Say something like, I don't know, Max's hairband sounds great. Sounds inspiring, you know?
All right.
Max is like, stop putting attention on me. So, also, if you're digging what we do, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. We're hovering 1140-something subs, and thanks so much for that. We sincerely appreciate it. Incidentally, the Toffee Blues website has all kinds of good stuff. You should check that out. Both of these gentlemen have pieces coming out there very soon. So, if you like listening to them, maybe you would like reading them as well. All right. Check both their Twitter accounts to see where they might be cropping up here or there. I know for a fact Tom mentioned being on View from the Gladys Street. Is that right? Coming up.
That's the one, yeah.
Yep. And so he'll be on that podcast coming up. So keep an eye on their Twitter. They're omnipresent. Yeah. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Yeah, because there's lots of all things Everton there as well. Guys, I think that's it. I think I'm done with the plugging. Thanks so much, gentlemen. Max, appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
As always, mate, as always.
Tom, wonderful to see you. Glad you're doing well.
Oh, you too. Nice one.
All right. So, yeah, for these guys, I'm Jerry, and we're out. So, bye.